Obi-Wan, it looks like I may never see you again. I don't know quite how to say this, but I've loved you from the moment you came to my aid all those years ago.
I don't believe this.
Satine, this is hardly the time or place for... All right. Had you said the word, I would have left the Jedi Order.
Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is number 252, Wampa's Lair, a Star Wars story. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Han Solo to my Lando Calrissian, we have Carl Eclair.
Well, what have we here? I know that's your line, but...
What are you doing, taking my line? I'm the smooth one. Well, not really, but... How's it going, Carl?
Oh, good. I am so excited about this topic for tonight's episode. So we are going to be talking about possible Star Wars story ideas that Jason and I would pitch to Lucasfilm if we somehow had that ability. Just stories we would love to see explored, whether in a TV series, a novel, a comic, anything of that nature. But that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. As we each came up with did you come up with five as well?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so we each have five story ideas that we have some, you know, not super fleshed out, but a little bit of a fleshed out plot for. And just ideas that we think would make some fun Star Wars stories based on things we've already seen. And the clip at the top of the show will be a hint as to something to come for me. But before we get into that exciting topic, we do have... a unofficial official sponsor of this episode of the Wampa's Lair. And we would like to give a shout out to our good friend, Patrick Rinier. Patrick, if I said your last name wrong, I apologize. I'm not sure if it's French, like Rinier, or if it's Rinier. But either way, Patrick has been a long time. He emails us pretty much after every episode. And Patrick, sorry, we don't often have the time to respond. You always have great ideas and great commentary on the shows we put out. But Patrick is our most recent supporter over on Patreon, and because he is the first one since our Tops sponsorship, we just mailed him a nice pack of Journey to the Last Jedi Tops trading cards, and we're going to be doing a similar giveaway at the end of this episode, so stick around if you'd like to know how you can get a pack of Tops Star Wars trading cards.
Woo! That'll be fun.
Woo! By the way, I loved that little episode we just did with Riley, Bethany, and Mark, and I liked the way I brought in Bethany and Riley. I don't think they realized that I was going to read their names and let them talk first, so there's a pause, and then you just hear Riley go, oh, woohoo! It's like really subtle, but it's really funny. But anyway, Jason, before we dive into the meat of this episode, we have a few things we wanted to cover first, and of course, first off, in light of two in a row episodes about the Last Jedi trailer, we asked all of you, our Larians, what your favorite part of the trailer was, and there were quite a few responses, as we predicted. Jason, what did they say?
Oh, man. Boy, were there ever some responses, and there's not a lot of doubling up on these, so bear with me here. In fifth place, with five votes each, we have Snoke torturing Rey. We have the Crystal Foxes. This line, this isn't going to go the way you think, from Luke. Chewie and the Porg is one. Kylo's dialogue, the voiceover for Kylo about killing the past. Kylo reaching out to Rey at the end. And then, of course, Michael Cohen... use that as his favorite part, as the fandom reacted to something that obviously isn't happening the way it looks like in the film. And then Kylo smashing his helmet and Kylo's Order 66 shot, the over-the-head shot with him leading the troops into the caves on Crait. Fate was also with one vote. In fourth place, with two votes each, we have Luke's hand coming out of the rubble. We have Poe's speech, the Force Tree / Journal of the Wills books, if you want to call them that. And that's where your vote went, Carl.
Right. Well, it's more specifically the shot of Rey walking towards the Force Tree. And then obviously right afterwards with the Journal of the Wills is great. But I've talked about that extensively in two episodes, so I won't say much more. But I did love it.
Two people simply said all of it. They couldn't pick something. Luke in general and the music also had two votes each. In third place with three votes each, we have Snoke's dialogue at the beginning. And actually, there was only one in third place. In second place with four votes each, we have Kylo's flying skills, Finn versus Phasma, and Luke's face when Rey cracks the ground, which is where my vote went. I love that that shot because it makes Luke realize what he's dealing with. And then in first place with five votes, we have the Leia and Kylo sensing of each other across the stars sort of thing that we see there in the trailer. So there you have it. Mm-hmm. There is enough in this trailer for everyone to like. That is for sure.
I think, yeah, I mean, all the major points I think got covered there.
I'm surprised that the new walkers didn't get a vote.
Yeah, you know, that's something big that wasn't mentioned, or the shot of Leia as the, you know, that big shield door is either opening or closing, I can't tell, or opened. Yeah, that didn't get a specific shout out. Not surprised though that the Kylo Leia stuff had the strongest reaction. Especially in light of Carrie's passing, and then again just the added weight of what that means for Kylo's character. And just incredibly well acted shots too, right? Like the expressions on both Adam Driver's and Carrie Fisher's faces are incredibly acted. So you really feel the weight of that moment.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It is, you know, one of my favorite moments in the trailer. It's probably the most impactful moment, not necessarily my favorite, but I just like the look on Luke's face more when Rey cracks the ground during her meditation. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, stick around for the end of the episode. We're going to be doing one more poll. I know we've done quite a few polls in a row without a matchup interspersed, but you'll find out why we're doing another poll at the end of the episode if you're so interested as to stick around.
Yes.
But Jason, again, to be clear, we are not typically a news podcast, but the day we are recording this, which is a Tuesday, some big news dropped today about the title of the Han Solo movie.
Yes, and it is a title that nobody expected, or everybody expected. I'm not sure which. It's one of those.
And it is called Solo, A Star Wars Story. By the way,
I'm shocked.
I love the moniker A Star Wars Story, because what was it originally with Rogue One? What was it called, like a what was the original
Star Wars Anthology?
Yeah, I love A Star Wars Story. It gives it like a bedtimey feel, right? It kind of, I don't know, I feel like it hits that fairy tale mythic element more than anthology.
I agree.
That doesn't, but just there's something very fun about A Star Wars Story. Like I really like that. And then the title Solo, whatever. I mean, I have yet to be in any way excited about this film. I continue to not be excited. We've really seen nothing, if you think about it. I mean, yeah, we've seen a few screen captures that Ron Howard has given us. I really like Ron Howard. He just, like, as a human being, he just seems really great. And I actually just watched the first half of American Graffiti the other night. I need to finish it. I've never watched that movie, which is ridiculous as a hardcore Star Wars fan. Because that's, without that movie, there'd be no Star Wars. That's what gave George the budget to launch Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But Ron Howard is just like, he's such an adorable actor. And you know, it's fresh off his Happy Days skit. I don't know if this is right before Happy Days or maybe even during it. He looks to be about the same age. But I really like that Ron Howard's the director. He seems to have been having a lot of fun with it. It's pretty clear that they're sticking to the May release date, which means they're going to have to start marketing it pretty soon. But I think until I see something, I just, there's nothing I'm excited about. And that's right. Fine.
I will say Ron Howard has done more to get me interested in the movie than anything else. And not that I'm super interested yet because we still haven't seen anything, but the fact that he keeps putting out some of these pictures and, you know, stuff from the set and, you know, behind the scenes stuff, has me more intrigued, not necessarily excited, but intrigued. Mm-hmm. About what's going on. And so he's kind of the best thing that's happened to the movie, to me, in my opinion, so far, that I, you know, that has me, you know, even looking at the movie at this point. Mm-hmm. So my guess is now that we have a title announced, we'll start getting more, but you sure. know, we'll see.
You know, and in light of my like 1 month sabbatical back in July, I'm trying to always keep a positive spin about Star Wars news. Not that I won't be like critical of things I don't necessarily care for, but at least try to be like overly positive and accentuate the positive, to quote a famous song. But I will say while I'm not super excited about a Han Solo movie, the main reason is simply because it's very uncomfortable to think of someone other than Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. And I think that would be a common reason people aren't necessarily super jazzed. But I will say this, I think the one good thing that can come out of it is if it's a well-made film, which I have hopes that it will be. I trust Ron Howard. I think, you know, they know what they're doing with the story group. I think they'll give us a good story. And I think the positive is if we get a good, strong story, it's just going to enhance Han Solo's character, right? Like, you'll care more about him. And to me, the way I've kind of compared it in my head is my favorite James Bond film is Casino Royale, the one with Daniel Craig, not that one they did in the 60s. That was ridiculous. And the reason for that is, right, it's kind of they did it as an origin story in the sense of, like, how did he get his 00 status? Why is he the way he is with women? And, right, like, they kind of flesh out what makes James Bond 007, right? Like, how he became that. And I'm not saying that this is going to be an origin story per se for Han Solo, but it might explain. And if for any of you who've read the A.C. Crispin Han Solo trilogy that came out in like the mid-90s, it does kind of explain why Han is a bit colder and is a bit less likely to take, you know, close friends. I mean, he essentially loses a woman he really loves to the rebellion at the end of that trilogy, and it really hits him hard. And, you know, I think it makes him more of an isolated character. So I could see, to some extent, like, part of this movie explaining why Han Solo is kind of this cocky, individualistic character we meet in the cantina in A New Hope.
Yeah.
I keep catching you while you're drinking, I notice.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, no, I have hope it'll be a fun movie. I just have nothing to hang that hope on. There's nothing been released, so
right,
you know, it's hard to get pumped and excited for something when you haven't hardly seen anything for it. So sure. That's sure. There you go.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, like, and this is going to come out a lot. This is going to come out a lot in this episode, obviously. But my favorite part of Star Wars is the Force, the mythology side. And Rogue One was supposed to be the first Star Wars film without that. And yet it's one of the strongest because of Chirrut and Baze. And I'm wondering, are they going to be able to fit that element into a Han Solo film, right? Are we going to see the Force in any way, shape, or form? Or I don't know. I'm just curious because obviously, like, as that being my favorite part of a Star Wars film, I'm just curious. I wonder if this will be the first Star Wars film without any hint of that. I don't know.
So it could be, but, you know, then, of course, you could see some goofy person doing something, or believe, you know, someone who believes they might have the Force but not actually have it, do something stupid to reinforce his idea of the Force being, you know, hokey religions and ancient weapons. So
sure. Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because he's certainly familiar with it in A New Hope. He knows what it is, and he just finds it silly. Yeah. Good point.
Right. Cool.
So,
we'll see.
So one last thing we want to just mention briefly before hopping into the topic, because we meant to do this earlier, but with the trailer coming out and everything, that kind of took front and center stage, as it should. But obviously, both you and I had the opportunity to play the beta version of Battlefront 2. What was that, like a little over a week ago? I mean, I thought it looked incredible. It was really awesome getting to play as a clone trooper and a battle droid.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't care for the controls for Starfighter. Oh my God, was I horrible at it. And that really frustrated me because it used to be my favorite part of the game. So I didn't really enjoy that part because I don't know why they changed the controls so much. And you and I both play for PS4, in case you're wondering what system.
Right.
So that was really frustrating. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I had fun. I'll be honest, I got a little bored of it after a couple of days. But, I mean, it was just a tiny little sampling. So, I mean, I got bored of doing the same level on Naboo, and I got bored of doing the same thing on Takadana. But, I think it's going to be tons of fun between the campaign mode, the ability to play a lot more offline modes where I don't have to play a bunch of gamers who are really good, you know. It just looked stunning. I love that it's the whole era, but, I'll say this, I'm excited about it, but the beta didn't get me as excited as I thought it was going to. So what did you think?
Well, and I'm going to totally agree with you on the controls for the Starfighter, squadron stuff. It drove me up a wall because the directional controls were on the right stick, and I'm used to doing that with the left stick, and it was just, I was like flying all over the place, and I couldn't do things. I was crashing, and I couldn't aim properly because I was all over the place. I kept, you know, making one movement and going the option I planned to do, and it was just, it was a disaster. Now my guess is that the controls will be much more customizable.
They were
for the full game.
They were customizable here, but I couldn't figure out how to get it back to the old settings. Someone said you could. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. Everything I tried, they were all terrible.
Either. But I think there'll be more control customization in the full game than they had in the beta. So hopefully that is the case, and I'll be able to do what I want, and that'll make Fighter Squadron much more enjoyable because I want it to be.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing about all of this is that the character type that I was the absolute best with, for whatever reason, was just a standard assault style battle droid. Like, not that I was great at all, period, because I'm not much of a gamer.
Yeah.
But what I did the best with was just a standard assault level battle droid, so, which amused me.
You know, I remember you saying that to me one time when we were chatting, and I had yet to play. I was always doing like the heavy stuff, but when I did the assault with the battle droid, yeah, that was the best I ever did too. And again, not to say that I did great, but it was the best I had done.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah, you and I both, I mean, very, very clear about the fact that we are not gamers. I mean, the reason I bought my PS4 a couple of years ago was for Battlefront. So, you know, like I enjoy playing, and I'm looking forward to like playing you once it's ready to go, and, you know, playing with some of our listeners like we did in the past. That'll be fun.
I will say I have got it on pre-order, and I've, you know, put like $30 down. So when it comes out, I can go in and pick it up for another $30 or whatever. So that, you know, it won't be as big of a deal on my wallet when I go pick it up, but
sure,
I do have it pre-ordered, and, you know, so that'll be nice. but yeah, my local GameStop will be seeing me right around November 17th. So,
yes, it's very exciting. Yeah. And it's nice, too, again, like that all the DLC that they're coming out with will be free, which is great.
Yes. Yes, it will be. So that'll be nice. I won't have to buy the game again in order to get all the downloadable content.
Exactly.
Which I did, and I didn't mind it because the content I enjoyed, but still it was the entire game all over again. So when you're already paying for the online account, you know, to begin.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
On PlayStation. So anyway.
But
I will be picking it up. I will have fun with it. I can guarantee you that. So
Yeah. And like we did with Battlefront at one point, I think we made like I think Joey Lutzen did it for us, but he made a Wampa's Lair community group on PlayStation, so that if you also are a PS4 player, you can play with us. And we only did it a couple times, but it was a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll do that again when the game rolls out in November. So anyway, yeah. And if you are a gamer, you can have fun kicking our butts because we're not very good. So anyway, I'm ready to jump into
I have topic. One little thing I want to do before we hit the topic. So yep. I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of our Larians, our listeners. They're actually extremely interactive with us on our social media. And that is going to be Brian Bailey and Katie, Katie was on our
Katie
show.
Horn. Yeah, she's a last name too.
Katie Horn, yes. She was on our show. She was one of our Patreon episodes, and she talked about Darth Maul. Yes. Well, Brian and Katie have started their own Star Wars podcast called the Moon Jockeys Podcast. So if you're interested, go check it out. They've just submitted their podcast for iTunes, so it should be up iTunes shortly. But you can find them on Twitter at Moon Jockeys Pod. I've listened to their episodes and I rather enjoyed it. So they're still working out technical kinks and stuff, but you know, which new podcast that's not professionally done doesn't have technical things at the beginning. So
right. Well, we still have technical things because
I enjoyed
Skype,
it so that's true.
That never goes away.
No, it doesn't.
Unless you're doing a live show. Yeah.
Technology the entire time you podcast.
Right.
darn Skype. It took us, an extra 20 minutes to get started today because Skype was not cooperating.
Correct.
At all. That being said, go check out Moon Jockeys Podcast at Moon Jockeys Pod on Twitter is the easiest way to get in contact with them, and they should be up on iTunes very soon. So check them out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out. Brian has been a consistent contributor on social media, and he's always got great insights. And Katie also, like, incredibly, incredibly insightful when it comes to Star Wars. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be great. And
passionate, I will say.
Yes.
The one thing I think is great about the podcast is Brian asks, the right questions that just sort of aim and fire Katie off in a very passionate, excited, and eloquent direction. So that's kind of my experience with the show so far is Brian aims and fires Katie off in the right direction with the great questions. So
I like it.
So, and if you've seen our social media, you probably can tell that that's what would have happened. So anyway, check them out.
Do it.
Do it.
So anyway, we have hopefully will be a fun topic. I know I'm excited to talk about it. But here in this new era of Star Wars where, a guy like, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Who's the guy that had the story idea for Rogue One?
Is it John Knoll?
John Knoll. Thank you. You have a guy like John Knoll who's just like, here's a fun idea for a story. And boom, it became a movie. So Jason and I thought it would be fun to just come up with some stories we would love to see explored in the new canon expanded universe. I did not like do any as movies. I did them as like different forms of medium, either like TV, comic, or novel. I didn't want to get that ambitious. But I just think these are stories. I came up with a few stories that I would love to see explored in some medium. And so we both have picked out a few ideas, and we're going to say what medium we think they would work well in and then talk a little bit about them. Jason, do you mind if I kick us off?
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
My first idea, actually, it was inspired by the clip at the top of the show, which is this story about Satine and Obi-Wan. I would love a novel about them. And when I say a novel, I don't mean one of these middle readers or young adult novels. I mean a novel. that's one of my biggest gripes right now with all the books we're getting. I was so excited about that Luke Skywalker book that's coming out. That's like all these myths about him, and it's supposed to be like the Canterbury Tales version of like the Luke Skywalker story. I did not realize it was middle reader. I immediately was deflated. I was like, this is so stupid. Because I will say, like, I read the Guardian of the Wills book. It was fine, but I wouldn't even say that I liked it. I wouldn't say I hated it, but I definitely didn't like it. So I was so deflated when I found out that that's what that Luke Skywalker book is. But anyway, I digress. I would love a novel that would explore the story of Obi-Wan and Satine. And the way I see it playing out, and again, we learn a little bit about it, obviously, right, in that episode. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to look at the name of the episode. But it's in season two. Oh, God, I don't remember what episode number. I literally just watched it last night.
It's not Duchess of Mandalore. That's the third episode. The second episode is Voyage of Temptation.
Yes, that's the one. And we learn, obviously, there that Obi-Wan has had a past with her and that he and Qui-Gon went, they were on a very long mission on Mandalore where they were protecting her. And, you know, they had all these adventures together. They were living dangerously at risk all the time. And it's clear that Obi-Wan developed a strong relationship with Satine during that extended mission with Qui-Gon. And, I mean, still, one of the funniest lines is when Anakin and Qui-Gon are, right, go save your girlfriend. Right. Wait, Anakin. Like, I love that. It's so good.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, so for me, I would love to see this story really fleshed out. And, right, it would follow Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan on their mission to Mandalore. And, you know, that will be the setting of the story. And we obviously see Obi-Wan develop feelings for Satine. And that's kind of explored as they, you know, like spend time together, maybe one-on-one, even in groups. But I assume that they'll have some time one-on-one together. And, you know, they just develop feelings for one another. There's a bond there that just seems to click. And the thing is I feel like because of who Qui-Gon is, Qui-Gon would have probably become aware of how Obi-Wan's feeling about Satine. And Qui-Gon seems to me to be the type of master who would encourage Obi-Wan to explore those feelings. Not necessarily act on them, but to explore them. To really, you know, I feel like there'd be a great scene in the novel where Qui-Gon sits down with Obi-Wan and says, like, you know, yes, these are natural feelings. Like, that's part of being human. It's part of being a person. You should spend some time and think about before you're knighted, is this something you'd want though? Like, do you still want to commit yourself to the Jedi Order? Right? Like, I feel like Qui-Gon would be that type of master. You know, whereas like Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars, you know, he's always cautioning Anakin about his relationship with Padme. But I feel like Qui-Gon would be a little bit more open-ended and might actually encourage Obi-Wan or at least have enough faith in who his apprentice is to say, you need to make the best decision for yourself. And I can see Qui-Gon basically encouraging him to listen to the living force. Where is the living force drawing you? And I think it'd be great to see in that story where obviously Obi-Wan comes to the conclusion in some big heroic way that his life's calling is to be a Jedi Knight. That is who he is. That's how he feels he's supposed to be in the world. And he makes that decision. And when Satine becomes aware of that, right? Like we learn in this novel, Obi-Wan, or in the Clone Wars episode, like, oh, if you'd only said the word, I would have left. But Satine never does say the word, right? And I think that's something that would also take part in the novel is like Satine becomes aware that Obi-Wan is troubled by this, and she knows that she could be the deciding factor just to be like, come on, let's run away together. But we see a scene where she chooses not to ask that of him because she knows that would ask him to betray who he is. And Satine makes the selfless choice as well and understands that Obi-Wan will be his best self as a Jedi Knight, not with her. And so they both like make these kind of tragic decisions to go their separate ways, even though they're in love. And I think that would make a really powerful story. You know, and I think it would also flesh out that scene in Attack of the Clones when Obi-Wan says to Anakin, you know, like, you've made a commitment to the Jedi Order, a commitment not easily broken. Like, Obi-Wan is speaking from experience, right, in that particular scene. He knows what it's like to be really committed, and he's made that commitment. And I don't know. I think this would be a really fun story to flesh all of that out. So that's my first story idea.
Well, it's kind of my first story idea too. So
how about that?
Except I envision this more as a mini series than a novel. And, you know, the Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Satine on this extended mission to Mandalore. And I was envisioning somewhat more Hidden Fortress-esque, not necessarily having two, you know, lowly people sort of to tell the story through, tagging along with them, but having them sort of on the run as they try and restore some sort of, you know, restore Satine's title to her in a sense. You know, they've been sent on this mission to protect her. they get there, things happen, and she's kind of like ousted and deposed, or something like that. And since they're on this mission, they have to continue to protect her as she tries to regain her position and her title and that sort of thing as a duchess on Mandalore. Obviously before she becomes the ruler of the whole planet, because this is going to be much earlier. But, you know, and have that sort of be sort of a wandering journey as they face all sorts of different hardships, dealing with the environment, with creatures, bandits, things like that. And through that is when Obi-Wan and Satine really start forming their bond, their friendship that could have been more. And again, like you said, they each come to that decision where they can either make the choice to take this further or remain on their chosen paths and perhaps ever see each other again. And because of the way that they feel about the other, Satine wanting to ensure Obi-Wan completes his destiny and fulfills his destiny to be a Jedi, and Obi-Wan wanting to make sure that Satine can do the most good for her people and to be, you know, this duchess and all that stuff, they make that decision to not move forward with the relationship. I think you're right. Qui-Gon would have a very interesting role to play. I haven't quite figured out what that exactly would be, but I like the idea of perhaps Obi-Wan and Satine trying to hide the relationship from Qui-Gon, and Qui-Gon is totally and completely aware 100% the entire time and lets them lets it play out a little ways before he says anything. But yeah, that's sort of the idea that I had. It's sort of Hidden Fortress-esque with reverse Romeo and Juliet implications. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I really want to see that story told. I think it'd be so much fun.
And hey, Lucasfilm and Marvel can hire Joe Hogan to do the artwork for it. So, I mean,
right, exactly. Yeah. I know he would appreciate the work.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think a comic miniseries is what I was initially thinking for this story. So,
yeah,
because I did sort of envision it as kind of, since this is such a long mission, I kind of envisioned it with sort of episodic challenges that they would have to, overcome. So, but
yeah, I think it could work either way.
I agree. So many of these stories could work, you know, in multiple formats, but
yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say about that, or do you want to move on to your second one?
I'm good to move on.
We'll go for it.
Okay. So my next idea would be a story about Yoda on Dagobah, and it would be a comic series. To me, what makes a good comic series for me personally, and I'm not like a huge comic book reader, but the thing I love about the medium of comics is obviously a lot of the storytelling is done visually. And a story like this, I feel like there would be a lot of visual storytelling. Also, Yoda doesn't have anybody really to talk to, so there's not going to be a ton of dialogue. It wouldn't be such an exciting novel per se.
Right.
But to me, the way I see it is kind of his early stages on Dagobah. And some of the practical things I would love to see is I'd love to see him build his little hut. Like, I'd love to see, like, does he do this by hand? Does he use the Force? My guess is probably the Force, or at least his Force-enhanced hands. I don't know. But some little things I would love to see in this story is something I love about Empire Strikes Back Yoda is the necklace he wears. And it's an instrument known as a blissle. Thank you, Wikipedia. I never knew what it was, so like I had my own story as to what it was. There are in like Hasidic Judaism, a lot of Hasidic Jewish people will either wear around their neck or at least around their waist, they like a little box amulet, and inside of that is like the Shema, which is like the most popular Jewish prayer, which is like, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other God besides me. And they wear that always around they typically wear it as a necklace because it's supposed to be like hanging over their heart. So I always envisioned that Yoda's little necklace was a little box with some sort of like ancient Jedi text or some ancient Jedi, you know, mantra or something that he lives by. But then when I learned it was an instrument and I was like, oh, that took a little wind out of my sails. But I thought, here's a cool idea though with the blissle. By the way, what a fun word, Blissel. to me, though, how cool would it be if this particular instrument comes from like an ancient Jedi monastery and it was used by Jedi monks as a way of communing with the Force? Like it was a way of using like beautiful music to commune with the Force. It was a form of meditation. And I thought, how cool would it be if we learned that Yoda's master gave it to him? We don't necessarily need to know anything about his master or anything where Yoda comes from. I don't want to know any of that. But like just somehow it's revealed that his master gave it to him because his master was one of like the last of this ancient Jedi monastic order or something. And how, again, like it's always interesting. Like this is obviously a personal possession. Yoda, we never see him with really any personal possessions in the prequels. Yet when he goes into exile, he takes this particular thing. It must have some value to him, right? Like he wouldn't wear this around his neck if it was just some random piece of jewelry, right? Like that's not Yoda's style. It has meaning to him. So I thought this would be like a really cool way to give it meaning, is that it was the one gift his master gave to him, and that's the reason he kept it. And it reminds him of the simpler days of what it meant to be a Jedi in the midst of all this turmoil that is the galaxy. A couple other things I'd love to see explored in this comic series is some early, so a little bit of dialogue, but obviously between Yoda and Qui-Gon and even Obi-Wan, right? As they continue to study the ways of the Force and learn how to become one with the Force. But obviously you can't just have all this mystical language and mystical storytelling, because that would bore some people. So to me, one of the big, and again, I see this as a very short comic series. We're talking like 2 or 3 comics. I don't think it needs to be an extended story, which is again why I don't think it'd work as a novel. But to me, the main conflict would be Yoda discovering the magic tree, you know, the cave that Luke goes into in Empire. And I think that Yoda's vision is going to be something regarding his failure of the Jedi Order. And he learns that by engaging in the Clone Wars. And I know we got a little bit of in the Clone Wars, like lost mission stuff, but in that experience in the magic tree, he learns that, you know, fighting the Sith only, you know, strengthens them, right? And within that mission, within this vision, he like submits himself in a way that is very passive to maybe like the Emperor or something. And the vision ends and we see that he's actually successful, right? Like we don't know exactly why, but we learn that Luke fails in his vision quest there on an Empire. But Yoda succeeds because he understands that the way to defeat the Sith is somehow through some nonviolent means. And so he comes out of that cave knowing the lesson he needs to teach to the Skywalker children. So I feel like that would be a cool way to end the series. So that's my other idea.
Well, that's pretty cool. I think one of the more interesting things would be watching Yoda build his hut by hand rather than with the Force, because, you know, he's, you know, going to use this as a moment to meditate, you know, and as he's, you know, packing the mud to, you know, build this hut and all this thing, you know, all this stuff, he's, you know, meditating and learning and communing and all that sort of thing. It'd give him something to do while he's thinking and that sort of thing. So I always envisioned Yoda building it by hand rather than with the Force. But yeah, no, this is an interesting story idea. And I agree, a comic would probably be best, because you're going to have many opportunities for large splash pages and things like that of just Yoda in the Dagobah Merc, which I know you love.
Yes.
So, but yeah, no, I think this would be really cool. And maybe, you know, it'd be really fascinating to see. I think, you know, it could even be sort of an extended one-shot comic perhaps, you know, but I like the idea of 2 or 3. Yeah, it's a neat idea. I'd read it. So
I would too. I'd write it. Yeah. Although I'm not much of a writer.
I know you would. you would definitely be working with the writer, you know, saying, "Oh, I want to include this and this and all right. Like, so how do we make that connect?" And they're like, and you'd be like, "That's your job, not mine."
Yeah. Listen, nerd. Well, what's your second idea?
My second idea is a novel, and this is going to be a tentatively I'm calling it Dooku Dark Knight. So, and I want to have it extend, you know, cover an extended period of starting with him, you know, leading up to him making the decision to leave the Jedi Order after Qui-Gon is killed by Darth Maul. I wanted to see that whole moment of him deciding to leave the Jedi Order, becoming one of the Lost 20, that sort of thing. And then ending the novel a month or two after the Clone Wars, when he's, you know, he's reached the point where he's, you know, traveled down the path from Jedi to Sith, and where he, in the conflicts he may or may not have of turning against his former friends in the Jedi Order, and, you know, sweeping them up in this war and deciding to view them as enemies rather than comrades, or, you know, that sort of thing, and sort of walk down this journey. And as he continuously step over every line, every moral, every thing that he had set up as a Jedi, and as he continues to step over those and move past it and decide that it maybe that's not necessary anymore on his descent down the dark side to becoming a Sith. And as he makes those decisions, I think this would be best served as a novel, because then you can get really into his head and his thought processes and stuff like that. And I'm trying... my biggest problem with this is I haven't figured out the through line, the hook, the challenge that gets us from that beginning to the end. So that's my only thing, which I know is kind of a big thing. But I really want to see something like this with Dooku, because I find him fascinating. You know, he's voluntarily left the Jedi Order and then voluntarily, you know, joined the Sith.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know, sort of a dramatic situation that was manipulated like Anakin. No, that he decided that he grew dissatisfied with the Jedi and then decided that he was okay with joining the Sith, which are the antithesis of the Jedi, and throwing the, you know, the order in chaos and turmoil with the Clone Wars to a point that ultimately will destroy them. So I find that a fascinating journey and a fascinating trip for him to take. And obviously Palpatine would be featured heavily in it. You could probably get him finding Asajj and making her his student in this as well. And you would even walk through Attack of the Clones from his perspective as well in the novel, and have it end shortly thereafter as the Clone Wars is now in full swing, and what he of that and that sort of thing.
That's really cool. But, yeah, and well, and if you're going to have him getting Asajj there, you're probably going to get some Mother Talzin as well in that story, right? Like, you're going to see him journey to Dathomir and recruit her. That would be really fun to see as well. And I'm trying to remember.
Right, yeah, no, totally. You could really work that in. So
Sorry, go ahead. Do you remember the novel Labyrinth of Evil, which was, I think it was written by James Luceno, and it takes place right before Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, I did read that.
Yeah, it's
been a long time.
Same but here. But I remember a couple of years ago, I listened to it on the audiobook, and there's a lot in there, and I don't remember all the particulars, but there is stuff in there about Dooku and how he first connects with Sidious and stuff. And I don't remember any of the details. I just remember loving that we got some of that information. Because, again, that's something as a Star Wars fan, like, you really want to know, right? Like, you really want to know
right
how that all came about. So
Yeah, and there's an interaction between Dooku and Palpatine in the Plagueis novel. Which of course technically isn't canon anymore, although I think it's one of the novels that could be considered canon. There's definitely some stuff that have been touched on in previous material, but I think an entire novel delving into the mind of Dooku as he walks down this path would be fascinating. So It also doesn't hurt that he's one of my favorite characters in the prequels. So
sure. I like it.
Yeah, that's my number two.
Well, it's going to be very similar to my number three, Jason. So I'm also thinking of doing a novel with Qui-Gon and Dooku. Something that takes place shortly before Qui-Gon is knighted. So it's kind of towards the latter part of their master-apprentice relationship. Some of the things, again, just some one little thing I'd love to see in this particular novel is moments of them sparring together, right? Because Dooku's supposed to be one of the most gifted swordsmen in the Order, and Qui-Gon's mm-hmm. also supposed to be one of the most gifted swordsmen in the Order. And I remember this as being in the Phantom Menace novel, something about how he was known as one of the most gifted swordsmen, Qui-Gon, which would make sense considering who his master is. So I would just love some scenes, maybe even the novel to open on that, them just like sparring together and Dooku commenting how good Qui-Gon has gotten. I'd love to see that. But to me, the driving force of the novel would be essentially, the Jedi become aware of some sort of plot against Chancellor Valorum. Now, I don't know how long Chancellor Valorum is technically in office, so I don't know if he... I kind of doubt he'd be Chancellor when Qui-Gon is still a Padawan. There's some sort of plot against the Chancellor.
Yeah.
Dooku and Qui-Gon are sent to investigate this particular... particular plot, and you know, during all of the goings on of this mission, they start to unravel that there's a deeper plot corrupting the Senate. And so again, the novel would imply the existence of someone like either a Plagueis or a Sidious, without explicitly saying it. It'd probably be more of a Plagueis type character. But they're becoming aware that the Sith might be returning, but it's a very, very distant thought. Like, again, because like you have to stay consistent with Phantom Menace, right? The council is shocked that there's a Sith. So it can't be explicit, but they're becoming aware that there's something deeper going on when they start to uncover this plot. And they want to continue to investigate, but the council orders them not to. And Dooku basically says, screw this. Come on, Qui-Gon, we're going to go. Like, we need to do this. This is what's right. Like, I don't care what the council says. And they are able to dig a little bit deeper. But in light of that, Dooku really distances himself from the council. And he really starts to have a sense of derision for the council, right? So it would start to plant those early seeds of why Dooku's considering leaving the Order. He sees them as being too bureaucratic, right? Like, they're not influenced enough by the way the galaxy really works. He sees them as becoming very out of touch, and it kind of sours the way he understands the council. And also, I think it would also bolster the fact that Qui-Gon doesn't care what the council thinks about him, right? Like in Phantom Menace, while he's still respectful of the council, he's still part of the Jedi Order. In a way, he doesn't care what they think, right? Like, he'll make bold claims even if he gets laughed at, or even if they scorn him, or if they think he's being a little bit roguish. I think we would see the seeds of that part of Qui-Gon planted in him because of Dooku. Essentially the story would unravel. They would get to the bottom of this plot. There'd be lots of fun lightsaber play in the mix. And they're both wary of something bigger corrupting the Senate. And the council doesn't want to hear it. And it just like the way it kind of closes is them, you know, in a sense with, so the novel would close with Qui-Gon being knighted. I think it would just be fun. Like rumors about a young boy who's about to be paired with Qui-Gon now is his apprentice. And right. Like we just hear a tiny bit about a very young Obi-Wan who Yoda really likes, has taken a liking to, which again would kind of imply why Obi-Wan says to Luke, he's the Jedi Master that instructed me. We could just kind of imply that Yoda has taken a special liking towards Obi-Wan and sees Qui-Gon to be a good master. And he sees, because perhaps Yoda recognizes in Obi-Wan kind of a more rigid, hardline Jedi who might help rein Qui-Gon in. So.
Mm-hmm. I love this because it moves very nicely into my novel.
Hey! So yeah, give me a two part.
So I think this is great. This is a fantastic story, and I would love to get more of Qui-Gon as an apprentice too. I think any way we get that Qui-Gon and Dooku's relationship would be also very intriguing to get into. Not something that's ever really been explored, which I think is a shame. But I love this idea, and I love the fact that you slip in the stirrings of a deeper plot corrupting and directing the Senate, but they're not being hardly any proof of about it would be, you know, an interesting way to take it. And as you're talking, I'm thinking of a final scene here where Qui-Gon has been knighted. You know, they've all done that wonderful stuff, and he's getting ready to go inspect a couple of Padawans or something like that, or something. And he comes to talk to Dooku as the advice about this, and there's talk of who his Padawan might be. Dooku gives him some sort of, you know, encouraging response, and then either through their conversation or Qui-Gon leaves, and we find Dooku is still obsessed about what this secret plot might have been, and he's still subversely looking into it, which, you know, would give him a place to start looking once he leaves the Jedi Order, and walk him right down into Palpatine's lair, essentially.
By the time
he gets to my book, so
right. Well, I feel like my idea for this book is it's more Qui-Gon story, and Dooku is like the supporting character. Where I feel obviously yours is Dooku is the main character, and other folks are the supporting characters. So
right, yeah, but something like that. I love this so much. So, I think we need a duology made, Lucasfilm, Disney Press, whatever. Yeah, you know, really. Del Rey can
come on.
can we do this? Have a Qui-Gon and then Dooku's duology? Can we do that? I'd love it. All right. Should I get to my third story?
Yeah. Let's here. I want to hear your third.
All right. Well, and this may be something that's already in the works. And this is going to be the new cartoon show that I'm pitching. Obviously Rebels is ending, and we need to know what's coming next. And well, I think what I would pitch and what may be in the works is some sort of X-Wing series Wraith Squadron type crew that we meet, as in they can fly, they can, you know, do you know, covert missions. They're, you know, they're sort of like great, you know, all around good agents, that sort of thing, that are helping the Rebellion / New Republic take down the remnants of the Empire post Return of the Jedi. And maybe, you know, we could even start right after Return of the Jedi or right before Return of the Jedi, and then walk this series up to the point where they retake Coruscant, or something like that. And I'm still working out characters, but we'd have, you know, a nice core crew, with obviously, if I'm thinking of sort of a squadron, then we would probably have some characters that would rotate in and out as they get killed, to be perfectly honest, but we'd have a core crew. And I know this is sort of like Rebels 2.0 in a way, but, we'd also be able to, you know, interact with, you know, film characters. We'd have Leia, Ackbar, Mon Mothma, Han, hopefully Luke, you know, in there as well, as they, you know, weave in and out of the stories. And I think that something like that would be a fun adventure. And, you know, I'm liking the idea of sort of a Wraith Squadron type crew where they can do just a little bit of everything. They're like the special forces in a sense, where they can, you know, covert missions, starfighter pilots, you know, that sort of thing. Of course, I'm also showing my supreme love for the X-Wing series books here, that I want to base an entire TV show off of them. So, yes, I very blatantly saying, let's remake the X-Wing books into a TV series. And I have no qualms about saying that. So, yeah, that's what I want to see. So, what do you think?
Nice. I like it. You know, I'll be honest. I wouldn't be super jazzed about it in and of itself. I did love the X-Wing series back in the day. It's been a long time since I've revisited it. And if, by the way, if you follow us on social media, you'll have seen I just restarted reading Courtship of Princess Leia. I kind of missed some of the old EU. I missed like the big stories that we were told in the EU. I feel like the new canon, and mainly because they're restricted because of the films right now, but everything's been so narrow. The stories have been so narrow. And they haven't been tremendously fun, in my opinion. Very few of them have. Again, my opinion. So I just kind of missed the old fun EU stuff. So anyway, I just started rereading that. Maybe the X-Wing series should be up on the docket later down the road. But that being said, that would be a really cool story. And, you know, I could definitely get on board for like a Star Wars Special Forces. I think this would actually make a good live action TV series.
That's true.
I think I'd enjoy this more as live action than I would animated. I think it could be a little bit more gritty, a little bit more Rogue One-ish, if you will.
I didn't even think about that, but that's a great idea.
Right? I mean, they've been delaying live action Star Wars shows for, what, 30 years? I mean, not quite that long, but you know, I think this would be a really fun one to go live action with. So,
yeah. But, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, just for the sake of kind of coinciding with you in a way, I'm skipping around on my list. So by the way, these aren't in any particular order for me. They're just ideas.
Right.
But just to go my only TV series idea, of course, which is not super original, but it's just as how badly I want it, is I want a post Return of the Jedi animated series that follows the big three. They are the main characters. Their stories are important. We see why they're the big three. We see why, that's what I want, right? Like that's what everything in Star Wars is lacking right now, be it EU or what. I mean, I guess the Star Wars main, like the main title Star Wars comic, we are getting that. But again, you're only getting it from like the A New Hope era, which again, that era is played out. Please, for the love of God, go to a different era. So, right. And like, I'm really hoping this is the next TV series they announce when Rebels ends. I think they could easily launch this series before episode 9 comes out. Again, like if you pick up shortly after Return of the Jedi, you're not going to reveal that much. And then it can, you know, then you, once episode 9 comes out the following year, like the second season, boom, you know, you don't have to have any reservations about what you share story wise. But, you know, we get obviously hinted at in the Aftermath trilogy that, Han and Leia are getting married, very quickly there on Endor. But we don't see it. And I think that's very sad. Also I would, you know, I really want to see our big three doing stuff together because the old EU, that's what it was full of. Like our big three were always working together. They were always, you know, going on fun adventures together. And it did two things. It solidified their friendship. It solidified the fact that they are a family unit. And more than that, it showed how impactful they were on the galaxy at large. In a way, the new canon seems to imply that the galaxy at large doesn't know much about our big three or how iconic they were in winning the war against the Empire. Again, that's a huge departure from the old EU where everybody knew who Han, Luke, and Leia were. I'm not saying that it has to go back to that because it's clear that that's not exactly where the story has taken us, but it would just be so fun to see them doing things together and how much they can accomplish when they do things together. That they are a huge force in bringing about the peace and prosperity of the New Republic. And I think it would be really fun towards the latter half. Like if you did this, if you had like, I don't know, I could see this doing 5 seasons, maybe 6. But maybe in the last season, you get Luke starting to go off on his own. This is probably a couple of years after Return of the Jedi. And he starts to, you know, build up his Jedi Academy and starts researching into how to build a new Jedi Order. So I feel like that would be a great conclusion to the series, is, you know, kind of bringing it full circle with Luke starting his Jedi Academy. So that's my other idea for a TV series, Jason, is doing this post Return of the Jedi story about the big three.
I could definitely get behind that because, as you say, you know, there's not a lot of substantial stories about the big three at this point, due to their limitations of what they can tell with the film still coming out. So obviously once episode 8 comes out, I'm sure some of those restrictions will be lifted and we'll start getting more, but I would definitely be okay with Dave Filoni telling us the further adventures of Han, Luke, and Leia post Return of the Jedi. And yes, sign me up. Thank you very much, sir. So,
yeah, I mean, so I know that's not I know that's not a terribly original idea, but I don't care. That's just how much I want it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's, you know, we're pitching what you want, so not what's original. I think I'm going to go to my next one here. And I think the best way, and they haven't done this format before, but I think the best way that this project would be done is in an animated movie, because it's not long enough for a TV show, and I don't think it would work necessarily as a live-action standalone movie. I think it needs to be an animated movie, and I want a good, the bad, and the ugly in space, starring Embo, Ara Singh, and Hondo Onaka.
Ooh.
As the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ooh. So, and I particularly think it needs to be animated because we can't have Hondo without the voice of Jim Cummings, and Jim Cummings is not necessarily young enough to be playing Hondo Onaka on screen. So, we need that. And I didn't, you know, even though he's specifically influenced by Lee Van Cleef in this film, I didn't put Cad Bane in here as one of the main characters because he would be playing the bad, and the bad dies at the end of Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Although it could be different than the movie, and they don't die. But I think some sort of something where the three of them are after some sort of treasure. Obviously Hondo loves treasure, and he hears about this, and Embo gets wrapped up in it, knowing a key part of the information of where this treasure is. Not the whole of it, but a key part of it. And so Hondo and Embo have to team up in order to get this treasure, and they're pitted against the likes of Ara Singh. Although, now that I think about it, if you're not going to kill the bad at the end of this movie, it could be Cad Bane.
Oh, you can kill Cad Bane. I'm okay with that.
No. We're not killing Cad Bane in my movie. That is not going to happen, Carl. But I think, you know, where they have to, you know, sort of go on this adventure, and it takes some kind of, you know, skirts them kind of through some of the battles of the Clone Wars, that sort of thing, where they have to make their way without, you know, trying to get caught up and get arrested by either side for things that they've done, you know, so escaping.
Would this take place during, like, the reign of the Empire, or are you envisioning it after Return of the Jedi?
That's a good question. Maybe it would. Maybe it would take place during the reign of the Empire, with Hondo trying to regain his empire, and that's what sort of sets him down this line of getting this treasure before he runs into the Rebels crew. I think that would be the best places to have this post Revenge of the Sith, during the earlier days of the Empire. And obviously, because he's worked with the Jedi before, Hondo, he would definitely be wanted by them and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think that would be good. I think that'd be fun. I enjoyed The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly as a movie in general, and since Westerns are part of what inspired Star Wars, I think actually doing some sort of like Western adventure inspired Star Wars story would be a lot of fun, and it would give us a chance to play with some of these characters not in the periphery of the Star Wars stories. And I think, like I said, I think something like this should be an animated movie rather than a standalone. So
I like it.
Thank
you. I like it a lot. I think it would work really well as an animated movie, like you said. And that was one thing I was like racking my brain. I'm like, oh, I feel like I need to do something for Embo because I love Embo. I was like, well, I just don't really have a story idea. Like, as much as I love him, I don't really have a story idea. But I think I like this.
Yeah, I got you a story for him.
I know. I like that a lot. I think it would just be a lot of a – it would just be a very fun movie.
Right.
And, I think that's a great idea. I think it would be a lot of fun. I don't have
much to add. Clint Eastwood barely says a word in the movie. So having Embo in the Clint Eastwood role works perfectly. So, even if he does say anything, we don't necessarily have to understand it because he's saying it to Hondo, who can't stop talking. So we'll get the gist of what he says by Hondo's response. So,
sure. Although I am envisioning one funny scene where, like, after some sort of like shootout and like their hats come flying off, Embo picks up Cad Bane's hat on accident, and they each have each other's hats on for about a moment. And then they just like swap hats. Like, I don't know, just be like something kind of comical. So, and you can see how goofy like Cad Bane looks with the Embo hat and how goofy Embo would look with Cad Bane's hat. So,
that could be fun.
Or like they could just pick those up and like throw them on real quick. And then Hondo goes, wait, you look wrong or something like that.
wait. Right. This does not look right.
And then he does it, right? Like, he takes their ass off and switches them. Much better.
Yes. That could be fun. Much better. I like this better.
Oh, man. I like it. So.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, I have one last story idea to pitch. And obviously, like, mine have all been kind of heavily themed towards, pretty heavily themed towards like the Force and the mythology side. That's the type of Star Wars I love. And frankly, we aren't getting enough of that
right now. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. So I'm just trying to offer them some suggestions instead of giving us Inferno Squadron novels and Captain Phasma books. Like, I don't care about military troopers in Star Wars. Their background. and I know that some people, that's obviously like their jam. And that's, I'm not knocking it. It's just not for me. But that being said, I think I would love to get, again, kind of like I'm thinking a 3 or 4 comic book arc series about the creation of the first Jedi Temple on Octu. So again, this is the religious studies major in me coming out. But to me, I think it would be really neat to see kind of a collection of this early form of, and by the way, I've never like Knights of the Old Republic has never been an era of Star Wars that I care about. But there's ever since like Force Awakens and we learned that Luke has gone to Octu because he's seeking out the first Jedi Temple. I've always been curious now, like, ooh, how did who built that? How'd that come about? Right? Like, why do we have that? So I feel like that would be a cool story to explore. And I kind of envision it like essentially, quick side note, I've been playing the Star Wars RPG game with a group of friends for a few months now. For those of you who don't know what that means, like it's essentially Star Wars versions of Dungeons and Dragons. And, at first it was really hard for me to get into it. Like my friends I'm playing with. So like, I'm like my friend Greg, he's part of that group. Everyone in the group has played either Dungeons and Dragons and or like the Star Wars RPG in the past. Like they've all had experience doing that sort of interactive gameplay. At first I was very uncomfortable with it and I didn't really like it. I remember again at one point, like Greg said to me, like after we all hung out one night, he's like, Carl, you just got to like, let yourself have fun with it. Like just hop into the story, like have fun. It was kind of this, and I realize I'm going on a tangent and I apologize, but, it kind of reminded me of like when I was in high school and I joined Theater Guild for the first time and I had to like, learn how to do dance moves and like learn how to dance, like to actual choreography and how uncomfortable that was at first. But once like that, I broke down that barrier and that sense of discomfort, it was a blast and I had so much fun with it. And that's where I've gotten to with the game. Like after, I think like the first 3 or 4 meetings, like I was very slow going at it, but now I'm really having a great time with it. I go on that random tangent because in our particular version of the game we're playing, for those of you who know anything about Star Wars RPG, we're playing the Forces and Destinies version, which is the story of Jedi. And obviously all of our characters are force sensitives who are growing up during the reign of the Empire. But we've all had been given these force visions about basically learning where to go to find kyber crystals and then learning how to build our lightsabers and essentially trying to track down a couple Jedi Knight who are still on the run and are still trying to train people. Boy, that was a long-winded story to say something very simple. And I apologize, Jason, and to everyone else listening.
I thought it was fun. So I have no experience with the Star Wars RPG, and I have no idea if there's anybody in Tucson doing it. So that sort of thing sounds interesting to me, and I would probably join you for that if I was in Boston, but I am not. So
yes, I think you'd have a good time with it. I think you'd be really fun to play with because you have such a vivid imagination. But anyway, the reason I brought all that up is because, again, in this particular story, something that essentially started the story and was kind of the main force in it is the fact that all of our characters were having these force visions that drew them to one common place. So essentially in this comic series, what I foresee is that there are these early version of Jedi who are interacting with this thing called the Force, and they're learning these new abilities, and they all start having these visions that lead them together to the planet of Octu. And they come there and essentially they start to share their experiences and their knowledge of the Force with each other. They all start teaching each other what they've learned about the Force, and they decide that it's time to create some sort of order and build a temple here as a center to train Force sensitives. And again, there's this underlying belief that the Force is what guides the galaxy and is what is trying to shape it into this peaceful, good place. So you have these early Jedi deciding, if we can increase in number, we can help perpetuate the reality of the Force into the galaxy that much more. So essentially, I see it being there is, some of these early Jedi, one of them, though, is being drawn towards the dark side and essentially tries to overwhelm his, his comrades. But they have to unite to fight against him because he's very powerful. They unite against him and destroy him. And then in light of that, realize how important it is that they codify something so that you don't just have all these rogue teachings out there and risk what happened to one of their comrades, who fell into the darkness and couldn't come out. So rather than taking the risk of just having random and itinerant, Jedi trainers out there, let's build a temple and create a space where we can, unite to train people in the ways of the Force. So that's kind of how I see that comic series playing out.
I like it. I would be fascinated with that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's sort of ancient history, which is definitely something I'm interested in general. So as a rule, ancient Jedi history would be fascinating. So
I thought you might
Who knows? Maybe Luke will tell us a little bit of that in The Last Jedi, but we'll see.
Right, exactly. And maybe even the series ends with them writing down some of their early teachings in something known as the Journal of the Wills. So,
Yes. I still think that'd be fun if we got, the actual Journal of the Wills there on Octo and connect that to Chirrut and Baze in Rogue One. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I'd be definitely okay with that comic miniseries. I think it'd be great. The last thing I have here is initially I thought I'd do this as a comic miniseries, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think this would be my standalone movie pitch. And this is going to take place a couple hundred years before The Phantom Menace. And it's going to be, following Yoda on one of his missions. He's still 400 or 500 years old at this point, so he's already become a Jedi Knight, all that fun stuff. And Yoda is sent out to there's a pirate who's raiding shipping lanes, and he's sent out to put a stop to the pirate raiding here. And he goes out, he gets aboard the pirate ship, and it turns out the pirate leader is Maz Kanata.
Ooh.
and she's actually doing the whole Robin Hood thing. She's taking some supplies and then redistributing them to people in like war torn or refugee situations. And she tries to convince him that she's actually doing a good thing, and he's not initially convinced. But then a third party who wants the supplies, who's also been raiding the space lanes, you know, under the cover of Maz's stuff, capture them, and they have to team up and work together to overthrow this other raiding, this marauder group. And at the end of it, Yoda lets Maz go on the condition that he petition for aid for the people that Maz is helping, so she doesn't have to keep raiding the shipping lanes. But you know, I want that story. I want to see the story of these two characters meet, and I want it to be, you know, long ago. And maybe Yoda is one of the reasons why Maz starts delving into, you know, more into the idea of the Force. She's got some rudimentary Force skills that she's using, but you know, this interaction with the Jedi is what gets her to really start studying it, perhaps. But I want to see this story. I want to see Yoda have to deal with a Robin Hood type Maz Kanata, and the two of them forced to work together. So
I love it. That is so fun.
Yes.
Oh,
so
my God.
Like I said, initially I thought this work as a comic miniseries, but now I want to see this as a standalone movie. So
that would be so much fun. I mean, it's the two great wisdom characters, right? And mm-hmm. by the way, like Maz Kanata is, I mean, again, according to at least some early things in the script, is Maz. There was actually supposed to be a scene in the castle where she uses a Jedi mind trick on one of the stormtroopers. Implying that like she has the Force, she's just not a Jedi.
Right,
which I think would be so cool. And how cool would it be, like, if in this story, Yoda actually invites her to come back with him to train as a Jedi, but like that's just not who she is. She's like, no, like, nah, bruh, like this is who I am.
That your place is there, mine is out here, you know, among the stars.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. So. Yeah, that would be such a great story. I think you could also intersperse a lot of humor into it too, right? Like it could be very fun, but also very,
oh yeah,
very deep.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it would definitely be something that I think would be more humorous than deep. Because you're seeing Yoda at a much earlier age, so his hair wouldn't be white, you know? And I just think it'd be funny because the main two characters are these CGI characters less than 3 feet tall. And just having to deal with that and everything else that comes along with that, I think would be just really funny. So, you know, visually. I would have a lot of fun watching this movie. I can guarantee you that. So
I love it. I would do. I'll see it.
So there you go. That's my last story pitch here. So I had a ton of fun with this topic, Carl. I'm really glad we changed what we were doing here to talk about this. So
yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like I was just sitting down and I threw on like an episode of Clone Wars last night, and I'm like, I have a great idea for what we're going to record about this week. I mean, because we obviously had a different thing in mind for tonight's episode, but we were like, nope, this is definitely a lot more fun.
Yes. And it worked very well.
Yeah, I think so too. And obviously, as always, we would invite you, if you're listening, to like share some story ideas of your own, like on our social media. Like tell us some of the ideas or stories you would love to see explored in Star Wars. Because again, each Star Wars fandom is unique to their own. So I'd be curious to see what other types of stories people would like to see explored. And again, I think also like if you do like challenge yourself to think of like what would be the, like, either just like a general plot or what is it in that story you want to learn, right? Like my story with Dooku and Qui-Gon isn't necessarily like a full-blown plot of stories. The plot is kind of simple, but I have like these ideas of what I want to see come out of it or see something expressed about their character. So, you know, go like maybe go a little bit deeper than just like, oh, I love, like, for instance, like, oh, I love Obi-Wan Kenobi. I want an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone movie. But I've heard a few people ask the really good, honest question. Well, what would it be about? Right. Like, you can't just tell a story if there's not a story to tell. And I'm not saying that there's not, but right. Like,
right.
You know, do you want a story about Chewbacca back home and you just basically want the holiday special but revamped? Like, I don't know, you know.
Nope, I'm good, thanks.
That is one movie I would not see, no matter what.
Probably, especially if they do it all in Shriwook and we can't understand a damn thing they're saying right.
And
for the whole movie.
And don't give us subtitles.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right. I'd just walk out.
Be like, all right, I'm done. Thanks for nothing.
I can't understand the plot of the story at all. Thank you very much. But anyway, no. I totally want to hear what you guys think. Stories you would pitch to Lucasfilm Story Group, that sort of thing. So, and hey, if anybody out there from the Story Group is listening to our, you know, wishful pitching here and you want to make some of those stories, you can take my ideas. Just sort of, you know, let me know, tap me on the back of the shoulder and say, hey, keep an eye out here. I'm offering these up as story pitches, so, you know, if you want them, let me know. I can help flesh them out if you want them.
Well, see, we didn't trademark any of this tonight. They could just steal them at this point.
Yeah, they could, but, you know, that's of having a podcast and just putting your ideas out for anybody to do with what you want, so exactly. What they want, so
yeah.
But yeah
anyway, so
I would be okay if anybody stole these story ideas. So if you want to steal them and make them reality, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, or even if you're just a good writer and you want to like flesh them out a little bit more and write like a short story about some of them, that'd be awesome. I'm not much of a writer, so I don't think I'd do very well at it, so. I'm like George Lucas. I might have great ideas, but not necessarily great at putting them down on paper.
So. That's why you talk.
Exactly. Exactly.
On a podcast.
Precisely. So, Jason, before we wrap things up, a couple of quick things. First off,
yeah.
If you are interested in winning another pack of Star Wars The Journey to the Last Jedi trading cards, we're going to do the same thing we just did with Patrick. The next person after Patrick to sign up for our Patreon account will get a free pack of Star Wars Journey to the Last Jedi, plus another little free gift that will be coming with it. Patrick will be getting it as well, to come with it in the mail. So if you are interested in helping to support the show over on Patreon, head over to patreon.com/wampaslairpodcast, sign yourself up, and then we will get in touch with you to send you a pack of these wonderful Topps trading cards.
Yeah, do it, because they're not letting us keep them, and otherwise I would have them already, and then they would be open. So, you know,
I won't lie.
They're giving us these to us to give away, not for me to keep, unfortunately.
Right. Well, I will say, when Riley sent me our batch, he put a little note on it. He said, these are for giveaways. Or some for you to keep. I immediately opened one pack, but that was it. I only indulged in one. I know. Couldn't help myself. And they were great.
There's a reason why Carl has them and not me, because none of these would be given away. I can guarantee you that. So.
Also, again, before we wrap up, so next week, which I believe October 25th is the exact date, we'll be celebrating 6 years of doing the Wampa's Lair podcast, which is just crazy to think that we've been doing this for just about 6 years now, over 250 episodes. Like, it's crazy what we've done. And I am proud of it. And I'm proud to say that you are my co-host, because I love doing the show with you.
Aw, shucks.
But and I know this is a little self-serving, so forgive us for that. But for our next poll, we're just curious, what is your favorite aspect of the Wampa's Lair podcast? What is, you know, and I got, again, we'll probably get all sorts of responses to this, Jason, and I'm sorry that you'll have to collect them all. but You know, if there is, you know, whether it's a favorite episode or just what is your favorite aspect of the Wampas Lair podcast? We would love to hear that. And, you know, we'll read those off on our 6-year anniversary episode next week, which will also be a very fun Halloween themed Star Wars episode, which you're probably thinking, what? But don't worry. You'll see. Actually, you'll hear.
Yes. True. But yeah. So if you want to weigh in on the new poll, if you want to weigh in on our topic this episode, which we had a blast doing, Carl, where can they weigh in on that? Join in the conversation.
Well, they can, of course, do it on Facebook, facebook.com/WampasLairPodcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wampas Lair. Shoot us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. And like I said, if you want to support us, it's on over on Patreon, patreon.com/WampasLairPodcast.
All right. Right. Anything else, Carl, before we wrap this up?
That was a lot of fun, my friend. Thank you.
I had a blast as well, and we hope you did too, our Larians. So thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Wampas Lair podcast. It's been episode number 252, Wampas Lair, a Star Wars story. For Carl, Jason, we will see you next time here in the Wampas Lair.